We'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which this project is created, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We would also like to pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Settle down and gather round for another tale. In the world of Nuar, where time has carved and cultivated a magical utopia of wonder, a small group of adventurers unlock the deep mysteries of the land, its people, and themselves. Welcome to the Down Under Dungeon podcast. The beating hot sun on baked earth. The constant, monotonous drone of cicadas and the dusty expanse of the great plains of peril. Wiry tussock grasses, their fronds as sharp as broken glass, stand defiantly across the plateau, littered with huge geological formations carved by the wind and grit of centuries. The hold of Lal Udrud is not for those of delicate constitution, and yet there are those who yearn to seek their plunder and uncover the secrets of this ancient land. Adventurers, can you please roll initiative? So, what did everyone roll?
I got a 14.
7.
2.
I had a 2, but it went to a 1.
Oh, great.
Ooh, okay. Minus 1 to initiative?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. There is a reason, but yes, I do.
Great. All right. The stale, dry breeze begins to kick up dust as we emerge in onto a panoramic view of a caravan crawling like some weird little caterpillar across the expanse. You hear the soft cry of mantelopes, these huge beasts of burden, hauling these canvas-covered wagons. As part of the procession, you see that there are 4 carriages, each meandering their way east across the plateau. In the front of the caravan, you see a small dwarven man. He's got greyish, silvery hair, a gap tooth, and is grunting as he's commanding the mantelopes forward. In the caravan behind, you can find all types of supplies and mercantile goods. But it is in the third caravan that we zoom in on, as this is what is carrying the most of the people towards the frontier city. We see a bunch of nameless refugees huddled in the back of the carriage, and amongst all these people, perhaps some who are a little bit more intriguing than others. And what I'll now ask you to do, players, is to just describe your character for our audience and what they're doing in this time. So Daniel, we'll start with you.
Probably trying to hide amongst the people around him and trying to blend in, but doing a very poor job of it. You see a 7'3" furball. That is probably the only brooding thing about him, though.
And shall we see him?
Well, you definitely see his full head, at least. towering over everyone. His height is the only brooding thing. He has these like soft but like bright vermilion colored eyes. You can clearly see that this creature has grown up a lot in the wild, in nature. There's probably like some cuts and bruises over his body. However, he has this full beard and like mane of hair, quite curly, a little bit of matted, you know, probably some dirt and leaves in there as well for good measure. He's covered in like red, orange, green, without looking like a traffic light, if possible. leaves that kind of intertwine into his leather armor that's got some like branches and twigs and stuff. For protection. He's probably cradling his staff in his hands, which if you see it, is like this dark kind of pine, but embedded towards the top this like circular kind of carving, and in that circle there's like these small orange and red stones that are probably emitting some light. They're actually like these things called sunstones, and he's probably just like looking down to his staff, looking at the glow of these, and hoping for a safe ride or to get out of this caravan full of people.
Oh, wonderful. Jeremy, do you want to introduce your character for us?
Yes. Yes, just next to Fang, but much, much smaller in stature. It's much smaller in stature. You see a humanoid fairy.
Oh.
Varying shades of green and blue throughout his skin and hair, eyes even. This iridescent green sort of dragonfly wings coming down from his back, and lean, almost delicate frame, with some lightweight robes and a tunic, little satchel, sort of sitting there reading a book, but he's got sort of a crystal wand kind of almost chewing on it as he seems to be engrossed in whatever it is he's reading, kind of deep in thought at this moment.
Yeah, sweet. Amber.
Yeah, I'd say probably sitting across from the Firbolg and the fairy is a fairly tall, and I'd say not lean, but just strong-looking tiefling. She's sitting there polishing a bit of chainmail with this like finely embroidered handkerchief, and sort of trying to just get through the journey, sort of paying attention to everything around her. She wears a navy blue tunic with a very loose blouse underneath it, with the chainmail skirt underneath the tunic again. Her hair is braided back in a tightly, like, woven braid, trying to just keep out of her face. On top of her head is two sets of horns, she sort of stands out a little bit amongst this crowd. And, yeah, with that you can see that she sort of occasionally her eyes dart around these bright yellow, golden sort of things, looking at everyone, just making sure she's aware and assertive of what's going on, but hasn't really said much this entire journey. Has just been focused on getting through, but has been listening.
Yeah, Feng is talking way too much. To anyone that will listen.
Obnoxiously much. And Georgia, would you like to describe your character?
Yeah, kind of in opposition to some of the people who are a little bit more timid. Tucked, like, not in the corner, but definitely, like, still sort of central, but not quite, is a much shorter figure. Kind of probably her head only sort of just comes up to the first sort of supporting rafter on the side. She's not very tall, and age has maybe shrunk her even more.
You pity all the woman.
It's the bard. She is kind of sitting in the corner with probably a couple of people that she's chatted to on the journey and sort of like coalesced. And it's just kind of like sitting there half having a conversation. And then when things kind of drift off, just kind of pulling, like mindlessly fiddling with the little sort of like set of bird pipes that's around her neck, just kind of like playing a little tune every now and then going back to talking. And then half the time she forgets that she's meant to be talking and then just accidentally talks into the bird pipes. So you just hear like kind of muffled like, nope. And then she continues talking. And so she's just kind of like sitting there kind of amongst everything, but yeah, also kind of to the side of it.
If the Lady Louie has been very social, I'll ask you to roll me an insight check. Absolutely. To see what you have gleaned on your journey so far.
First roll of the campaign. Yeah.
Perception is a 10.
10. Okay, with the 10, I mean, look, you've noticed that a lot of these different members of the party have joined at different intervals along this carriage ride. You've actually been on it the longest. Mm-hmm. When it first came out of its journey from Hofnir. Then obviously Lysandra jumped on board, and then the druid and a few other adventurers also. In terms of the insight, you have known the name of some of the refugees that have been as well. Ilya is probably the one who you've connected to the most. She's a young human woman who she is a refugee from the town of Pinkerton.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of upheaval in the southern capes of Nua. And as a result, a lot of these displaced communities are coming towards Lal Udrud as the kind of new frontier town, a new place to make your worth. And that has obviously been very attractive to a lot of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Does everyone else want to make a perception check?
Love to.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I got a 15.
21.
Nice.
Three.
The
natural one.
Well, Lysandra, hey, you are very much engrossed in the polishing of your armor. Quig, you would realize with that perception check, I mean, you would have clocked Feng pretty easily. There were furbolgs in the Fey Court, but interesting to you, in the Fey Court, they are much smaller and diminutive than they are here on the material plane. So the size of Feng is very, very interesting to you.
Okay.
So I think you two would have definitely gotten to know each other on the way here.
Yeah, did you say you were reading something?
Oh, yeah, I have a book. It's just like, oh, pretty much illegible mathematical notation.
Yeah, Feng would definitely probably try to like give you some light with his sun stuff and just turn to you and be like, oh, hey, what you reading over there?
Well, it's a little complicated. I don't know if I can really describe it.
Yeah, I mean, you can try. I probably won't understand very much, though.
Yeah. When you begin to jumping into, like, long, complex arcane calculations, hang on, I'm going to need an intelligence saving. No.
That's where I put the 9. That's an 8 that goes down to a 7.
Okay. Quig, what do you... how do you start to explain the magic?
So, the first thing you need to understand is that light is never really in one single place. Is that can be in many potential places, but then when you look at it, that's when it kind of locks in to where it is in that moment in time. All right, so what you got to be thinking is that there's potentiality to it. I'm getting a look.
Then gets a nosebleed.
Oh dear.
All right, my friend.
I will also say with those perception checks and Lady Louie with your insight,
mm-hmm.
there are a few other adventurers here that you have ascertained. You only got a 10 on your insight.
Yeah.
So I will say that obviously Lady Louie is an older person
mm-hmm.
and therefore has a knack for picking out the people that she's like, okay, avoid that person at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you've got a bad read on them at any kind of the sense of the word, but you do see that there is a large orc also in this carriage. You see they've got a huge white mohawk, one eye is missing. They've pretty much kept to themselves and kind of ignored a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But for you as a bard, you kind of realize that it's probably the most quiet people in the room that you have to keep an eye out for.
Mm-hmm.
Quig, I will say with that high perception check,
mm-hmm.
You definitely clock some magic being cast from deeper within as you hear the familiar drone of a high elven voice. And you kind of like, groan and stifle a mark as you definitely hear that there must be another wizard from the conservatory in this carriage.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You see towards the middle of the carriage, there is a very tall, high elven, very androgynous but masculine presenting high elf. And you see that they're conjuring little puffs of magic for the entertainment of the children. But you see... they're doing it not out of any kind of sense of, oh, these kids will like magic. It's more of a sense of, pay attention to the cantrip so you can leave me the hell alone.
Like games on the phone.
Yeah. The fantasy equivalent of slipping the kids an iPad.
Yeah, gotcha,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, when you start at level 1, you're just automatically an iPad kid.
Yeah, so what would you like to do?
Well, have I ever seen this individual
before? Roll me a history check.
Sure, will do. That's a nat 20.
Oh, that's nat 20. Nat 20 of a campaign.
Oh,
goodness. I would say Quig is such an analytical mind when it comes to magic. You kind of almost, and you've spent so much time around these high elves, you do know that they are all very full of themselves and like to distinguish themselves. So whether you might not actually understand the identity of a person, you clock the identity of the magic that's being used and kind of the cadence in which the magic is being cast. With an at 20, I'm going to say you know that this person is named Arduinavir. The most pretentious elvish name you could think of. And you know that this this high elf comes from one of the very powerful elven families in Bientiorum. Yeah, that's what you get with your nat 20 history check on him.
Yes.
Anything in specific you would like to know about them?
This is poor.
Or you can go up to him?
Yeah, I think I will. Yeah, Quig gets up. And just moves over, interested expression, knows that there's a chance he might get recognized, so he's kind of going up mostly silently, but like he's nodding and like he seems also interested, like as the kids are, but more just to gauge where this guy's at.
Yeah, I would say make me performance check.
Okay, not terrible at those. I am today, but with the five.
You see, the carriage is swaying and creaking underneath you, and you're very light on your feet, so you're very able just to like pick your way through the carriage over to this wizard, and you see that they're casting cantrip after cantrip, and while they're doing it, reading a book, like not even looking to the somatics of what they're actually doing. And as you walk past, you kind of stumble a little bit, bump into the massive orc that kind of like pushes you off. And you see Arduinavir kind of like, for a moment, his eyes peels away from this book, regards you with like cold indifference, raises half an eyebrow, and then returns to his book.
Yep, that'd be right.
Would I see this happen?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I'm going to see this happen, like lock eyes with you and just be like, yeah, I mean, he's been just kind of standoffish this whole time. If you're casting entertainment, you may as well actually be engaging with it.
Yeah, well, I think it's more than a shame, especially for those kids.
And you see, as you guys start to talk, the high elf kind of, like, clears their throat and goes, do you guys, like, mind, like, keeping it down? Like, some of us are actually educated and would like to keep it that way. Thank you.
Well, I mean, if you're the one that's interacting with people, why are you, if you want to be left alone, why are you making it such a thing that you're distracting children?
Believe you me, if I could have hired myself a private carriage all the way to Lal Udruid, I would have. But no, I got cut off for this summer vacation because last summer vacation, me and the boys had too much fun in a demiplane and mother and father are... What's the word? Oh, you're pissed.
And he's bragging about his education.
And then, returns back to his book. And you see he kind of like, his eyes wander a little bit on Quig again. And then he kind of, make him roll, actually.
Yeah.
He's going to roll with disadvantage for this.
So uncaring.
He's like, and what's your deal? What are you like some like, what?
Quig.
A Quig?
No, sorry, that's my name.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you had some kind of episode or something.
Could you be nicer?
Okay.
Potentially? Maybe take your attitude down a full, like, 7 notches?
Are you using cutting words?
I'm using, what do I have?
Vicious Mockery? You didn't take Vicious Mockery?
No, I have Dissonant Whispers.
Full cut spell at him.
Yeah, I'm not gonna, like, go, like, damage-wise. I just want to try to, like...
Let's do... He's going to make an opposed charisma check.
Okay. Could I just try, in some workaround way, try to actually, instead of trying to, like, cast a spell at him, could I try to cast Friends on him?
Ooh.
Like, be bitchy enough that he respects it.
Is Friends a level spell?
No, it's a cantrip.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I believe you have to roll...
Yeah, why don't you read it out?
Yeah. So that's the wrong spell. That's the right spell. So Friends, for the duration you have advantage on, well, technically it's for duration you have advantage on all charisma checks directed at one creature of your choice that isn't hostile towards you. When the spell ends, the creature realizes that you use magic to influence its mood and becomes hostile towards you. A creature prone to violence might attack you. Another creature might seek retribution in other ways. depending on the nature of your interaction.
Okay, let's go. So you just cast the friend's cantrip.
Pretty much. Yeah.
What does your cantrip look like for?
I'm trying to be really subtle about it.
Yeah. I bet.
I think I'm literally just trying to like speak it into existence. So as I'm talking to him and be like, can you just take your attitude down a full like 7 levels as I'm like gesturing about the like I'm literally making like 7 notches in the air and sending them his way, being like, can you just take it down a notch, please?
Okay, I'm gonna let the spell work. I still want you to roll just a general charisma check.
Okay.
I love
I'll roll for him.
What is my charisma? Oh, fudge. Not good. It was a 6.
So the spell still works. You see Aldrunavir kind of like looks at you with this piercing eye, and then he kind of sighs and he drops the cantrips, and then he says, fine, I'll keep to myself. And then upturns his book completely with both hands, and you see immediately now that the refugee children have been like, their distraction is gone, and they're just looking for a new one. You see they all take a look at Quig in his spiny, shiny wings, and they just start coming at him like a house cat and a baby.
Fing will go to protect him and just start using the druid craft cantrip to like produce some flowers and help them to play with.
At this point.
I think you definitely see this at this point. You've been roused from your armor cleaning session with that poor perception check.
I get real spooked. Quig gets real spooked by the kids, and almost like instinctively his eyes go from being this like deep emerald green, they light up in all the colors of the rainbow, but it kind of in flashes, and he just points somewhere else, and it just it's like a fireworks show appears, but like 30 feet away, like pretty far away at the other end of the carriage.
Oh.
But it's like noise, it's got the noise and visuals of fireworks just going all different colors, and just like it's almost instinctive for him to take the attention away from himself.
Yep.
By casting, it's just a minor illusion.
Roll a deception check for me.
Ooh. Oh, hey kids, come look at this.
That is a 14.
Yeah, you see full Gandalf style, like at the end of like fire, this about fireworks spell goes off in the back of the carriage. And yeah, you see all of the kids rush to the back of the carriage and kind of like stay there for a while. And you guys are all left pretty much alone.
Apologies for accidentally setting them on you like that. I don't
know. That was fine. Like, I feel like I was a little rattled. I'm not used to kids, so.
Fair enough.
But good that they're entertained.
I'm gonna open a little pouch that's on my belt, and I'm just gonna hand you like a wrapped hug candy.
This is for me.
Yeah.
It's for me.
It's an apology and a gift all in one, I guess. It's just a treat.
Take it with both hands.
Make an insight check.
Yeah. That one.
Oh!
Queenie, you are from the Fayport, and you know never to accept food from strangers.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I put it in my pouch as I turn away.
It'll
be passing. It'll be
passing.
That's my sleight of hand 14.
Yeah, I think that passes.
Just.
And the hard candy is slipped into a bucket.
Yeah, oh, nice.
So do we need a distraction for those children? Or are they going to be settled for a while?
Well, I can keep doing that. Not looking at me. Just keep casting as we're talking. I keep kind of waving my wand a little bit, just like lines.
So is that magic coming from you, or is it from the wand?
Oh, well, that's also a complicated question, but I'll be happy to explain it to you, my friend.
Things know it starts bleeding.
Yeah.
I feel like he's maybe a little overwhelmed. Excitement? Yes, 100%. Maybe just give him a little break.
All right, so kind of both.
I don't really get
it. But also from outside of me, and then I start rambling anyway. I'm trying to keep it simple, but I'm like, what's really more complicated than that?
It's already very loud in here with everyone else talking. Can you please just...
Yeah, so, sure.
So, why are you all going to Laludrid?
I'll let someone else go so I don't cause you to have another nosebleed.
No, you go.
Solo investigation of magical phenomena. There's a lot of I make eye contact with Feng. I just go, very interesting goings on in that realm that I want to look at.
I give you a little thumbs up.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Have a look at.
I'm just here to check up on some people.
Family?
Well, of a sort. Yeah, I guess adopted, or... Yeah, adopted, I guess.
Veng, I guess, would... Like, because he grew up in, like, a druidic circle, I feel like adopted slash chosen family, I feel like, you know, for him especially, that's all kind of very open. Gets so, what about you?
Oh, well, I'm here just, I guess, to spread the word of my institution.
What institution is that?
Oh, do you know the Priory of Sky?
Would Feng know the Priory of Sky?
Oh, yes. I think everyone I'd say here, Quig, you can make a history check, yeah, but I think everyone else here knows the Priory of Sky.
17.
I would say even in your brief time in Nua, you've kind of definitely like got the basics down. The Priory of Sky covers the domain of the sky gods after the great cosmic event. And they are basically kind of an institution that works on the betterment of those connected to the land in order to reach the lofty heights of the gods. So there's lots of storm gods, gods of rain and wind and the sea. And so that's what they're is kind of representative. In
the is that religion. Almost the opposite to the Order of the Eternal Flame?
Yeah, correct. So the Order of the Eternal Flame falls under the Discordia of Earth, which is the other main religion, and they follow more kind of natural gods, a little bit more Shinto in terms of like their worship. But they also do have a pantheon that they explore. You do know, I will say, maybe not for Quig, but for Lady Louie and Feng, you do know that the Priory of Sky is very heavily institutionalized and there are strict hierarchies and orders. And, you know, but having said that, their mission is not nefarious or proselytizing, but they, you know, definitely have a broad church of people who they want to bring in, and, you know, people can have a lot of goals under the church umbrella and operate under that church umbrella as well.
As she says she's from the Priory of Sky, could I, like, kind of knowing that it's inherently probably a good organization, but that they are, like, as you said, heavily institutionalized, can I just kind of, like, give her a once-over and see if...
Yeah,
like,
make an insight check.
Yeah. Can I'm not using that dice. It's been mean to me.
The dice curse has already started.
Oh, listen, that's better. 17.
I say, like, you've lived a long life.
Yeah.
And you come from a place where it really does matter where your merits are in terms of where you stand in society. And I feel like when you observe Lysandra, you definitely see maybe a shadow of your past self in terms of a younger woman who is... perhaps unsure, but at the same time determined.
Yeah.
And that might come across to others as like a little bit threatening or hostile, but you know that that is mostly a defense mechanism.
Yeah, 100%. You said that I'm just going to be like, oh, noble cause.
Yeah.
You do know that there are specific gods, though, within the Priory of Sky. So usually acolytes of the Priory worship a specific god.
Yeah. Is there any sort of... specifics you're pushing, anything you want us to, like, I mean, know about, I guess?
If you're interested, I follow Kastar. He's the lord of storms and navigation.
Fair enough.
That sounds really awful.
Well, I mean, navigation's always useful on a journey
what
like this.
What do you mean it sounds awful?
Well, storms really bring a lot of rain, and if there's too much rain, then the nature gets suffocated and all the plants get uprooted, and that's generally a bad thing.
Don't plants flourish with more rain?
Sometimes. Sometimes you need to burn them away to purify the area and, you know, reignite the seeds.
Lysandra in this moment is just very, like, taken aback.
Feng does not, like, necessarily have, like, a religious kind of vibe to him. I think he's very much just, he has learned only one thing his entire life. Like, for as long as he's known, he's been in the druid circle. And he's always just been taught, like, this is our way. So you're not necessarily pushing it onto, like other people. They've just got different points of view. You just make sure that yours is known kind of thing.
Sensing the intention, I'm just going to turn to you and be like, all right, well, Feng, what are you, well, actually, I don't know your name yet. I can't say that.
Yeah, he would have been. We've been in here a while.
Yeah, been here a while.
Okay.
Yeah, Feng introduces himself to everyone.
So, I mean, we've all said what we're doing here. What's your mission? And
Feng starts to sweat a little bit, visibly, like, doesn't even try to hide it. And he goes, I've been sent on a special mission to Lalordrud. See, they've just transported some of our special, flame there. And the Druid Circle is kind of expanding. So I've been sent as a special ambassador.
Important job.
Yeah.
Yep. It's an important job. You're doing a good one.
Thank you.
That's so... hand him a hot candy.
Immediately unwrap it.
I gasp.
Very, very quietly to myself, take a sharp inhale as I see it. Just eat the candy from the old lady.
Are you okay?
No, I'm fine. You want to tell us more about this special flame?
The flame is actually from a phoenix that was gifted to us a really long time ago. And we kind of just keep it safe. It, you know, it gives us our powers and things like that, and we keep the land safe in return.
Sounds like a fair exchange.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Sounds like an important job.
Maybe I should go find the phoenix one day. Maybe that's my journey.
That's a fun little quest.
Do you want to come with me?
I've got nowhere else to be.
I love that.
Sure.
I thought you were checking on people.
Well, I mean, the people I go to check on are kind of everywhere and scattered around, so...
Right.
Maybe I can be one of the people you have to check on.
I mean, at this point, I think you're definitely one of them. It doesn't take much to be included.
That's true.
Do you have, like, a limitation for sort of where it's, like, too far for you to go and check on them?
Well, this is kind of a new expansion, I guess. Usually it's just within, like, 6 city blocks, but kind of got a little cooped up recently, so I'm heading out on the road. Got a couple people I really should have checked up on probably a couple decades ago, but that's fine.
A couple decades? That's a long time.
That's a very long time.
Well, depends on whose lifespan you're talking in.
How old are you?
Very rude to ask a woman her age.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Make another charisma save.
Yeah, Beng does not have a social filter. Charisma saving throw, that's a 12 becomes a 13.
Okay, even with a 13, you're... A thing is high wisdom, so he doesn't know what to say, but he knows when he's stood it.
For sure.
Yeah.
He's always just trying to make, you know, people feel welcome and comfortable, so he asks too many questions.
I think, yeah, she immediately kind of sees you, like, clam up. It's like, honey, you're okay. You're right, I was joking.
Okay.
It's a joke. I'm almost 80.
That's not too bad. You got, like, maybe few lots of years left.
Maybe 5 to 15.
Oh, that's no.
If I'm lucky.
Oh no.
6 months if I'm not, but that's okay.
Feng's new mission is protecting this woman.
That's okay.
Sweet. So as the sun completes its zenith and begins to dip over the horizon, you hear Galvin grunting back at the caravan that they should be able to make it to Lalordrud on the morrow. No one here speaks Dwarvish, so you can't really understand his kind of, like, dialect, but the, you know, a few muffled grunts of common come in and out, so you're able to understand him. The beating sun is slowly replaced with these diminished rays of orange and amber light. Small insects and reptiles begin skittering over boulders and between shrubs, desperate to catch a meal in what little light remains. A cluster of thin, wispy clouds almost dangling the prospect of rain meander overhead as the shadows cast by the huge and intricate rock formations grow longer and longer. The broad, dusty wheels of the carriage finally groan to a halt as Galvin pulls aside from the meandering road to a small rocky outcrop. He begins to detach the mantelopes from their carriages, leading them to a small trough of water and attaching feeding bags to a large boulder.
It's nice to see he's taking care of them.
What does a mantelope look like?
So a mantelope is essentially a land-based stingray. Imagine that, or a manta ray.
Is it a cantaloupe with legs?
No, it's not. Yes, a cantaloupe with legs. No. So a giant manta ray. You see they're wearing these harnesses on them, and they're essentially weighing them down because they are flying creatures. Because of their pulling speed, that they've been co-opted as kind of like the beasts of burden for this region. They're quite gentle and slow-moving and skittish. So what I'll ask you all to do is, as you are exiting the carriage, Galvin's kind of set it up in a circular fashion so that everyone's on the inside. I'd like you all to make a perception check and tell me what you're doing to set up camp for the evening.
Yes, sir.
What did everyone roll for their perception check?
A 17.
Ooh, I got a 16.
Ooh. 11.
Got 11.
Six.
Ooh.
Come on, guys.
We're trying to be supportive. Good job, you rolled a 6.
Oh, thank you so much.
How hard can it?
Oh, no.
I think she's also read that you hate them and is just doing it to piss you off.
Yeah. Quig, you're tired from your journey, and as you step out of the caravan, you do see that many of the refugees begin to huddle around a fire that's been struck by Galvin in the middle. He appears with a large cooking cauldron and sets it upon the wood. Being so dry here in the desert, the wood burns perfectly with almost no smoke. And Galvin begins the arduous task of preparing a stew. What does Quig do to set up for camp?
Quig is he's a little wary at this point. I think he would stick close to his Firbolg friend.
Okay.
He's really not familiar with this kind of living and travel. This environment at all, so he's trying to watch from afar but stay where it's kind of safe, which is with Bang at the moment.
Okay, all right. So I will then move on to Lady Louis. You have been keeping your eye on that orc all day.
Mm-hmm.
And as everyone kind of settles down for the night, you notice that the orc has detached themselves from the group and is just standing over by the mantelopes, just gently kind of brushing their heads. And it's kind of an odd look.
Can I make an insight check to see if they're at a position that they would be open to someone approaching?
Yeah, make an insight check.
14.
I'd say with the 14, it's much quieter now, much more peaceful. The noises of the setting sun. I feel like you felt that maybe they were just kind of overwhelmed with the carriage noise and everything going on. But I don't know. Roll the dice.
Yeah.
Metaphorically.
Cool. Yeah, I think as I see that, and I'm just going to, make a quick perusal and make sure everybody's kind of just, settling down. And then I'm just going to, very much visibly, so that they can see that I'm coming, come up and just sort of, approach for conversation.
As you approach, you see the orc kind of turns to you and kind of nods their head and says, "I'm so glad to be out of that caravan."
Oh my goodness, it's you and me both.
We're too old for this.
The kids did not stop the entire time. And listen, that high elf fellow is okay with keeping them. He was just so smarmy about
it. And I mean, we were kids once too, so I get it. But the older you get away from being kids, you're just go away.
Take a nap.
Just grow up, honestly.
In the back of the carriage, just pile up, take a nap.
You see the orc kind of chuckles a little bit, petting the mantelope, says, "My name's Gorog, by the way."
I'm Louis.
Louis? What's bringing you out here? You look like a stiff breeze could blow you over, if you don't mind me saying.
I'm a bit more solid than that. Come on. I know I'm not anything compared to you, but a woman can hold her feet. Taking a breath of fresh air, I guess. Getting out of the city. Traveling.
That must be nice. I mean, I suppose I'm wish I had that liberty. I need to find somewhere better. You see that they're absolutely covered in scars, and they look like they were once a very, proud and strong warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And Gorog kind of goes on to explain how that, they were essentially exploited as a barbarian and as an orc in their natural tribe, mm-hmm. constantly feuding. And then when they're kind of telling their story, and you can see how physically kind of intimidating they are, but they're also, touching, petting the mantelopes, and, it kind of occurs to you that perhaps they have this kind of sense of synergy with these creatures as being intrinsically soft and kind, but they work for a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand them a hard candy.
And what do you say?
And I'm just going to kind of conspiratorially lean over and just be like, You know, I mean, it would probably slow us down a little, but we could just set these little guys free if you wanted.
Ooh, I'm going to say give me a persuasion check.
I know it's going to fuck us over, but I think it's funny. Okay. Oh, 21.
21. Okay. Oh, you see, Garug smiles, immediately grabs the hard candy and, like, crunches down on it. It's just a sickening crunch of tooth on hard sugar. And they kind of, like, laugh and regard you with a lot more reverence than they did perhaps moments before. And I'm going to make them roll for it. I think that's only fair. Let's see. What do they add to wisdom? Oh, okay, that's pretty good. All right. You see they kind of go, right, but even if we were, we'd have to be, you know, a little bit more discreet, would we not?
Probably. Okay.
Let me think about it and I'll get back to you.
Okay. When we get to where we need to, we'll meet back up and we'll discuss it.
Sounds good. Moving along, let's go to our furbog friend and his fairy accomplice. His carry-on! Cute! You guys follow. I see a tall, slender figure. You see by now, Gelvin's kind of like working on the stew, adding all sorts of like root vegetables and stuff. But you do see that the... when you're like surveying the group, and I'm sure Feng's just like watching the campfire and making sure everything's okay.
For sure.
You notice Arduinavir isn't anywhere.
Was that the High Elf?
That was the High Elf wizard.
Hey, where'd your High Elf friend go?
My friend?
I both make perception checks. I'll roll stealth.
I got a 19.
I got an 11.
You see Feng looking around, and while Feng is looking for people, you're looking for magic. And you just get the whiff of a mage hand coming from behind the cart that stores the food and water.
I'd snap around to see there's something there.
Well, let's go.
Get up something at the food and water.
Let's go.
How are you going? Are you going stealthily?
How far away is it?
It's just around. It's just one of the caravans around the camp. So it's just on the far side of it.
I think. No, I would just get up and go. I wouldn't have too much hesitation about it. I just like someone's grabbing something.
Yeah, Fing would absolutely go with him.
Sweet. You guys, as you round the corner, notice that Arduinavir has made their way to the food and water carriage, and clearly have begun rifling through it with their mage hand in order to get something better than whatever Gelvin is cooking up. And as you turn the corner, he kind of dismisses the spell. The hand was already holding something, so there was like a massive clatter to the ground. And he kind of turns around and is like, someone can't get 10 minutes to themselves around here, apparently.
Hey, what were you doing?
He's going to make a deception check. She rolled a 9.
Should we roll against him?
It's a 9.
Yeah.
So you see he's visibly starts sweating as someone who very rarely has ever had to dealt with the consequences of their actions. And you see Arduinavir kind of goes like, I paid good money for this trip, and I think Elvin's doing us dirty. We have to eat slop every night.
Hey, Quiggy, is this guy causing you any problems?
He's causing everyone some problems, I think.
Oh, that changes things.
Okay, all right. How about I just, we all grab something to eat and we just all keep this quiet?
I don't think that's how this works. There's rules. You got to follow the rules.
Do you go back to tell on him?
Not yet.
I think
he might, but Feng's waiting to see what happens. Should
turn around, walk away, and then we don't talk about it after.
Hey, maybe like that's the wrong thing though. What's his punishment?
Okay, I'm gonna need an intimidation check from Quig and a persuasion check from Feng. This is a very good cop, bad cop.
I just got 13 intimidate.
I got a 16 persuasion.
Oh my goodness. You see Arduinavir kind of sighs and kind of like goes to turn. And as he turns around the side of the carriage, he kind of lets out a stifled scream. And you hear and you see Gervin's kind of like standing there, this like old ancient dwarf just menacingly looking at him. And you see he points to the carriage. points to Arju in Avir's hands and then makes a chopping motion with his other hand. And you see Arju and Avir misty steps away onto the other side of the encampment immediately.
Was he going to chop off his hands?
Yeah, please go.
I also get as far away as I can from the rations. I'm like, I don't want my hands chopped off.
Okay. Well, in that case, then, Feng, can you make an investigation check for me?
Sure thing. Ooh, that's not too bad. I've got a minus one to investigation, so it becomes a 16.
Not high enough. You return to the campfire. Lysandra, you, I would say, probably need a little bit of moment to yourself to recuperate after the day. And you, as you start walking around the campsite, you notice that there is a figure up on the rock that no one really noticed in the caravan. Ask you to make, I know you made a 17 perception check, so I will still use that. Towards the outskirts of the outcropping, you see a young woman has perched herself on a large boulder and is kind of muttering to themselves. You've seen her in the carriage before, but they have been utterly silent and to themselves. How would you like to approach? Are you approaching quietly or are you observing?
I think I'm going to just approach them.
Yep.
Not quietly, I can't be quiet. But she would hear the rattling of like chainmail coming up behind her as I approach.
Okay. As you approach the boulder, which is probably the most removed from the campsite, you see the noises of the dinner being served kind of starts to like dissipate as you move further away. Like sound just seems to get swallowed up here in the plains, just with nothing much to reverberate off of. But you do hear over the early morning breeze a small prayer. Oh, the Lady of Rain, giver of life and archon of water, renew me as you renew the world with your mighty gift, so that I may lead others and precipitate the wisdom of the gods of sky into this heathen brethren that knows not your embrace. And you see, as she finishes her prayer, she kind of smiles, sighs, and without turning to face you, says, "Good evening, sister."
"Good evening."
"I wondered when you would come and find me. I thought I would observe you from afar, just to see how connected you were to those above."
"I didn't want to, make any scenes or anything like that. Just trying to get through."
"Right, assimilate with the rabble."
"I guess."
"Yes, and are you also endowed with glorious purpose to come here and spread the word?"
"Yes."
"From where do you herald?"
"From Feldspar."
"The Great Monastery?"
"Yes, that's the one."
"The gods must have brought you up to, you know, in great favor for you to go there."
"You could say that they did, yes."
"And which of the gods do you swear allegiance?"
Kastar.
You see she rolls her eye a little bit at the mention of Kastar, and she says, "Ah, yes, the most exciting. Well, what people tend to forget is that he is not the god of rain, but only of storms. A destructive force."
"Storms are mighty and powerful."
"Of course, all of the gods are as powerful. The most powerful there ever is,
of course,
or ever will be. But unfortunately, their influence is stifled here." And you see she looks over towards the horizon to where Laludrud sits. She says, "I've been tasked to come here and begin the hard work. Many of these people have been too long in the clutches of this Scourge of Earth doctrine, and look where it has led them."
She just kind of stays silent.
You see her eyes narrow for a little bit and then soften. And I'll get you to make an inside check here.
Sure.
Also, I'm so fascinated. What is an archon of water?
Dictionaries.
Only a 5.
A 5.
Yeah.
You just see her face soften for a bit, and she says, "Well, sister, I am tired for today's journey. Perhaps we can continue this conversation tomorrow in more polite company."
"Perhaps we can, sister."
And she waves a hand to dismiss you so she can return to her prayers.
That feels
really interesting.
Bows her head and walks back towards the camp. looking for the children, I think. Trying to see what they're doing.
Okay, so you turn to go back.
I'm at the camp casting detect magic on these hard candies. That
I mean, okay, so we have Feng and Quig around the campfire.
I actually have detect magic as Firbolg magic, so I'm trying and help Quig as well. And
we're both sitting across from these hard candies. Doing our mini ritual.
Yeah, I think Feng's detect magic, like, because it's part of his Firbolg magic. I reckon all of his hair just goes like static electricity, and he starts to like fuzz up a little bit, trying to like use it as a sonar sense. I'm pretty sure I sense magic from over there.
Wacky look, as you're doing that, and then my eyes are again just glowing.
Oh, I don't think he can hear me. I think he goes into a neutral state. See, maybe I'm a higher magic user because I can still talk while doing this.
Sorry. Oh, that's so funny.
We can cut the first bit of the line. Sweet. So you guys are chilling by the fire, Lady Louise over near Grug, and you're just returning from your interaction.
Probably seeing what's happening here, seeing that there's children somewhere, and hoping that they're not pestering these two with whatever ritual-looking thing they're doing. I'm just going to sort of see if anything needs to be done to
Sorry, I'm just going to stop because I want you where you guys are.
Yes.
Sorry. But yeah, you just finished your conversation with Yellen. And that's what she introduced herself to you, Sister Yellen. And now I'm going to make a couple of rolls for everyone.
Oh. What do you mean?
Rolls for us? I don't like that.
Well, not for you. Okay. I need someone to roll a d4 for the table.
One.
Is that bad or good?
I don't like that.
I'm banking on good.
One is really good.
I mean, from the sign I just heard over there, I don't know.
Okay.
I feel like it could be bad.
There's multiple dice in there. I don't like that.
Why do you just keep rolling?
Stop.
As the sun begins to set, you hear... I'm going to need a perception check from you, Lady Louie.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Roll high.
It's a 13.
13.
Yeah.
As you turn and you're kind of observing, you feel almost like the rush of wind behind you. It catches your hair. And and as you turn around, you see two crossbow bolts sticking out of the chest of Garug. They kind of look at you with like wide open eyes. And that is where we will end up.
Oh, I hate you.
That was so good.
Oh, I have cure wounds prepared.
I really wanted to come over to you, Lady Louie, to help you free those.
Oh, good thing. Good thing we had more important things to do.
I can go off the phone, Samantha Ray.
As soon as you said that, I was like, "Yeah, Feng definitely would be more important."
Okay, gang, so for this production, a lot of creators tend to plug their own content at the end of sessions. We've just decided we're going to start a tradition of selfless plugs. So everyone around the table, if you have anything that you're consuming or listening or creators you're interested in, let us know, shout them out here.
Yeah, I've got one, I'll start. So I'm a big reality TV fan. I love like Survivor, Big Brother, etc. There is a couple shows on Netflix that I highly recommend people watching. They're Korean reality shows, specifically The Devil's Plan and Siren, Survive the Island. They are like Survivor, The Traitors, The Mole, but like on steroids. And it is like so good. Great contestants, great twists, and just some of the best reality television I've ever watched.
Sweet. Cool. Yes, yeah, sweet. So check out those and then come back and watch us next week.
Next week. See you then.
See you then.
See you then. Woo.